And we're ready, so we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, January 17th, 2018, at 8:58 on the clock, and we will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Ten is by observation. Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, and Tiemann, and Byers will be gone all day. The consent agenda. Number one is general agenda. Number two is approved minutes of the meeting held January 3rd, 2018. Number three is approve all claims through January 17th, 2018 in the amount of $595,737.44. Accept claim number 180101192 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $907.50. And claim number 180101278 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $182.75 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve register deeds, fees report, and district court summary fee report for the month of December 2017. Approve the 2017 annual noxious weed report and having chairman sign report. Any questions? If not, we'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. What, you got a question?
That's why I have to split that out because I didn't get into a new paragraph.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 180101192 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $907.50. And we didn't put those two separate, so we need to do one of these at a time. Okay. The other one is Johnny's Welding.
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Hill, second by Bauman. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Now entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 180102 78 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $182.75. This will bring the total of claims approved through January 17th to $596,827.69.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann and seconded by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none. One thing we're going to do today, and I should have done it earlier maybe, but we are going to have a need to have a change on the agenda. We have, or should we do that when we have the closed session?
Well, you can have the closed session.
As soon as we're done with committee reports here, probably about 9:15 we'll have closed session. Or you want it now?
Whatever. Or if you want to see if we're done with the agenda by 9:30, we can do it at
9:30. Okay, we'll wait till 9:30. Gary has to leave, and we have the closed session on the FOP thing, and we want him here for that closed session. So that's why we will move that, and we will maybe adjust the agenda at that time. So we will go on to committee reports, building ground, winter lights.
Good morning. I just had a few things. The winter lights will be turned off this Friday. We had a good year for it. We didn't have any problems. And I noticed a lot of people were taking pictures this year just because of the snow that we had this year. Also, last couple of years, there was hardly any snow on the ground when they were when the lights were on. We did discuss snow removal. I'd like to make just a small change. In our snow removal bid, we do have it where the sidewalks could be cleared off also. I've done that. I have a snowblower and a small garden tractor that I'm able to do a lot of that with. But I did discuss with Beatrice Lawn Care possibly just having an hourly rate to clean off. It's mainly along 6th Street, Lincoln Street, and things like that when snow rolls up on the sidewalks.
We had that discussion at committee meeting, and a little bit of the problem is when they come by with their snow plows, that's where it comes, is on the sidewalk,
right,
and then we can't push it just back out
push
there.
Push it out, and that happens usually several times during the day, so it does turn into
a... The day when the wind was blowing, I saw you too, and it was a struggle with our equipment what we had. Yeah. So,
I think they do it to me on purpose too. The other thing would be just it will be on the agenda later to discuss the property at 609 Washington to be tore down. So we're going to talk about specs on that.
You'll be around then for that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Equalization. I don't think anything more for that. Finance and insurance.
The large ticket items. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS service, $10,000. NMC, parts, labor, and grader blades. I think Galen said he purchased grader blades for the year. This isn't only county blades, but township also. $49,559.39. Sapp Brothers Fuel and Oil, $13,378. Gage County Historical Society grant for that brick street project or brick project, $26,832.55. Inheritance fund, Gage County petty cash reimbursement for the property on 609 Washington Street, $64,161.25. 9/11 communication fund, City Beatrice, quarterly 9/11 service, $52,500.
That's it. Anything else for finance or insurance? Human resources.
Employee relations.
None. Law enforcement. Emergency management.
I think everything we got to discuss is in the agenda later. So,
okay. Road and bridge.
I'm going to start this out. Of course, you know, we had the bridge match program. I think on the 12th it was supposed to be concluded. We had various projects on there, but there are a lot of projects throughout the state. So leading into that, Dirt Crew has been visiting landowners in the Wymore Liberty Road for shouldering work come spring. Fuel bids on January 31st, agenda to open on February 28th. Rock and gravel bids, call for bids on January 31st to open on the 28th. Galen's been working on a 1- and 6-year plan. There were 21 projects completed on the 1-year plan from last year. So if there's any problem areas anybody sees, contact Galen. I think that plan has to be in place by March 1st of 2018. From there, I'm going to have Galen, if he would, come up and discuss the projects that we had on the bridge match and some other. There's a couple bridges that were on there we're hoping to get some help on, but Galen will tell you about this.
Okay. On the what they call round two of the county bridge match program, we did send in, there was a total of 5 projects. Gage County, we turned in one for a bridge south of Holmesville on the blacktop. We did bundle 2 culvert sites for Gage County with Johnson in Pawnee County. The lead county was Johnson County. We did receive notification that they did award the 2 culvert sites to Gage County. We did not get the bridge site that we put in, or we also submitted 2 box culvert sites. The bridge sites that they did award, like I said, the lead county is Johnson County on these projects.
That the culvert.
These are culvert, metal pipe culverts. And one site was north of 35 Liberty, and it's going to be removing a 31-foot long by 20-foot wide timber bridge, and it'll be replaced with 3 120-inch by 60-foot culvert pipes. The county will do the work. The other site was east of 16 Island Grove. We'll be removing a 36-foot long by 16-foot timber bridge, and it will get triple 108-inch by 55-foot culverts, and Gage County will do the work.
What was the estimated cost on those 2 projects for our county, not for all of the counties, just ours?
The total estimated cost on 35 Liberty was $138,800, and on East of 16 Island Grove, estimated cost was $131,600 on those sites. So,
Galen, touch briefly on the Claytonia Bridge. We had a fair amount of discussion on that and the problems with it.
Yes. About approximately a half mile south of Claytonia on the blacktop, there's a 96-foot long truss bridge. It has two jump spans. I think they're 20-foot jump on each end. And the fracture critical inspection come back on that again. And on the beams underneath the bridge that support the deck, there's severe rusting going on. Some places it's actually rusted through the girders underneath on that. Basically, we've got to go in there and to keep the bridge open, we got to go in there and do some temporary repairs on it. I have talked with Mark Manelli about this, and we're going to get together, and he's going to come up with a plan to do some temporary repairs on that. This structure, we do need to get it in the program to be replaced. One of these days, if we don't do something, the state will come in and through their inspections and close it down is what's going to happen. That's something we got to do the repair work on this spring and get it done.
Yeah, right now it's not closed.
No, it's still open. The bridge is open.
Due to the inspection, though, there's concerns, and they've given us a report on it, and Manelli's going to devise a plan or design a plan to work on that to upgrade it to keep that bridge open.
Yes.
However, as we had in our discussion in our committee meeting, there is enough concern with that bridge that needs to be put on our 1 and 6 year plan, our 1 year plan, yeah. Probably not our six, yeah. Our 1 and 6 plan.
I think we've talked about this bridge for many, many, many years now, or as long as I can remember, and never probably had the proper funding, or because it's a long bridge. It's going to be an expensive bridge. But with the repairs we have, I'm sure it'll be safe, but it's something that has to get replaced.
And it's too big for culverts or a box culvert. The size, the length of it is just too big. We know that. And, there's been discussion in past years. There will be more discussion as we go through our 1 and 6 year plan. Our 1 and 6 year plan, there will be a public hearing on that again. We will have more discussion in our next meeting, and sometime in February we will have a public hearing on that. But that needs to be approved so we can get it up to the state by March 1st. So.
And the bridge south of Holmesville on the blacktop also has issues with
it. Issues with it. It's got the same rusting problems on the beams underneath. It's not quite as severe as the one south of Claytonia, but it definitely is going to have to be repaired to keep it open also.
That bridge south of Claytonia, they had a structural rating of 3, if I remember right. If we do those temporary repairs and plate it or whatever Mark comes up with, when they reinspect, our rating should go up though again on that. They won't leave it where it is and just hold it there, will they? If we do the temporary repairs, can we get our rating back up to say a 4 or?
Hopefully, but that I can't guarantee on that.
Like I say, when you talk to Mark, tell him temporary, permanent.
Yeah.
But they don't, I mean, as long as you do the repairs, they don't come back and inspect it until they do the fracture critical again next year or in 2 years, do they?
Well, actually, that bridge south of Claytonia is scheduled to be reinspected in 9 months.
Wait, 9 months?
Yes.
Okay. So we basically have the summer to do those repairs, or shorter than that we need to.
Yep. Just to add to that, at some point, if we get to the point where we replace that, what would be the engineering options to take that little jog out of that road? You know, kind of, there's a visualization issue.
Claytonia.
Yeah.
The Claytonia one.
Throw it out there.
I mean, it'd be something to look at, but
It'd be.
But you also got to hit the creek square, and that's probably the reason the jog is in there.
It doesn't hit the creek square now.
No,
I think it comes across there at a skew, doesn't it?
The creek goes underneath the bridge on a skew. The bridge that's in there is actually square with square, and the creek comes in long and it hits the south abutment. I'm sure a bridge replacement would be put in there at a skew to align better with the creek that's coming through the underneath side. So.
And back to these two projects that did get approved, if they continue to pay that the 55%, we're looking at $145,000, $150,000 savings to the county that they're going to match on that.
Yeah.
So that's something that, those projects won't be done this year. They'll probably be in 2019, or do you think late 2018 they will be?
Well, these will be wrote up, the contracts will be wrote up. They thought they'd hopefully get them out in about 3 to 4 weeks to be signed and stuff. And then they, on this one, since the county is going to do the work, we just put all the materials out for bid.
Put them out for bid, so yes. Those projects could be done this year then?
Could be done this year,
in 2018, not in our fiscal year.
But, yes.
But, I mean, that's another situation there where we need to really be thankful for, is that we got that much approved, that we're looking at a savings of $140,000 to $150,000 to the county. So.
I think another reason probably the county was selected for these two projects is the county does install all those large projects. A lot of other counties don't operate that way. So I think in the back of the state officials' minds, they were thinking, well, we're going to get two things done at a lot lower cost here. So that's just my guess.
Galen, Claytonia was on this for round two, right, the Claytonia Bridge? We just didn't get selected for it.
No, this one don't qualify for the
it does not.
The match program. No, not Claytonia. The one south.
I'm
Holmesville
sorry.
Did.
I'm at Holmesville.
Holmesville was on there. Yes.
Claytonia will not qualify for that. I was going to ask you, can we start floating these two on each round of funding for this bridge match? But Holmesville, we could continue to.
It'll stay on the list. Yes. When they if they put it out. I guess they'll probably call it round three, then it'll be resubmitted for that.
With the STP and the bridge match funds, how much money do we have in the bridge match? Or not the bridge match, but there's the STP and the bridge dollars. Do you know how much we have in that bridge account now?
I think we only have probably a couple hundred thousand because we used a majority of what we did have for the Hickory Road. So. Just the last year.
No, he's talking about the funds that have restricted that we.
Right, we did use that for the bridge on Hickory Road, and we have not the soft match. I'm talking about the bridge match money that we got put into the road and bridge sinking fund.
Oh, that we did use.
We used all but I think last year's money that came in. We haven't used it, so there might be like a couple hundred.
Well, that's about, between the two, that's about $300,000, or $280,000 that we get. 140-some and 140-some.
Right. Yeah. We may have a year's worth that we can use.
Total fund balance is $860,000, but I don't know how much of that is.
Yeah, and that's the whole entire.
Itemized.
Yeah, whole entire fund.
Galen, any idea? I know this is just a big-time guess, but what would it cost to replace that bridge?
Well, I know at one time, off the top of his head, Mark said you're probably looking at $650,000 to $700,000 to replace that structure.
Okay. I budgeted for the next year, so total we might have about $700,000 because I had 2 years.
$700,000, and then that usually comes here in February or March again.
So that's with an anticipation of the money coming in.
Well, that's with anticipation coming in. Okay.
Because I have to budget for that.
Well, if we don't do any paving there north of Holmesville, we ought to have plenty of money.
That's not an option.
Thank you.
The other day, anything John else? Said that road north of Holmesville is actually looking a little bit better.
No, I didn't.
No, he didn't. Thank you, Galen. Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, we'll move, Walker, fourth quarter Engage report. We'll wait till about 9:30, and then we'll have the closed session in that. So, unless you want to stay around and watch the rest of this or whatever, you're more than welcome. So,
sure.
Okay. Thank you.
I was just trying to postpone my talk. All right, so Q4, kind of year-end wrap-up, but just gave this same thing to the city the other night, too, and I think kind of a nice little stamp for us for quarter four and for the end of the year was we got a couple nice awards from the Nebraska Diplomats this fall. Beatrice was selected as Community of the Year for Southeast Nebraska, and Rare Earth Salts was selected as Innovator of the Year. I don't know. I just feel like that sums up our year. We had a really nice year of 2017, a lot of economic development projects. To get those awards was basically a culmination of all of those projects. So cements it for us. But just gives us a lot of things to build on for 2018. So Aaron and I, we spent a lot of time lately just trying to validate like what we're doing, why we're doing it, what we're sending out, when we're sending things out. So we've kind of gone back to data, and we have a whole folder now on just data, and we're trying to track of, you know, if we're doing things correctly, and if not, and how do we make them better. So and what made us really start to think about this, we have a monthly meeting with our website hosting company, and we were going through some numbers, and he said, well, what did you guys do here from Q2 to Q3? He's like, your numbers are really good. And he's like, usually we see a huge drop in website traffic there, but you guys had over a 32% increase in web traffic. And we said, well, I don't know, we've just made a little bit more deliberate approach on our social media, our newsletters, you know, what we're posting, when we're sending emails, who's looking at them, you know, what's the content, are there links, are we driving people back to certain places? And he's like, whatever you're doing, it's working. And so they asked us actually to host a webinar for their company, and they host websites all over the country. So he's like, why don't you gather your thoughts, put it together, and we'll have you host a webinar so you can kind of teach other economic development groups or other people we host websites for how to do the same thing. So we must be doing something right then. But that's, you know, it's been a deliberate approach by us to make sure that all of our stuff looks cohesive, that we're not boring people. If we send them something, they want to open it, and it's interesting, and they're learning things. And the whole end game is to make people excited about the things that are happening down here and wanting them to do more and hopefully get more people to move down here. So other stuff, I guess, that we've been kind of working on in Q4, we've done a ton of office cleanup. We've had files and things from just all over. Rather than go through all those files, we've had interns just go through, scan everything. We're coding everything, putting it all into our shared drive, and then into our online relationship database. So now we can get to anything from anywhere in the world. I'll have to go through filing cabinets and try to find a certain document. You know, interns have everything coded, so I could just go onto my computer and type. And as you probably noticed lately, I've been on the road a fair amount, and we'll be on the road a fair amount. So to be able to get to files from anywhere when somebody requests them is helpful for us. Plus, it's just nice to have a clean desk and filing cabinet. Q4, also one of our highlights was the Nebraska Business Development Center came down here and hosted some intensive business development trainings. It was a whole week. We focused on 12 businesses from all different types. There was retail, and there was service and manufacturing. And originally, when NBDC asked us to partner with them on this project, it was going to be just kind of downtown Beatrice specific, and it was an SBA grant that they applied for. And when we got it, we said, well, we kind of want to open up to the county and just have more of a broad base. And so we really did have folks from really all over the county participate in it, and it was awesome. Everyone that participated just spoke very highly of it. The meetings we got to be in, people spoke very, you know, highly of the process. And so it was kind of a one-time thing, but if we can partner with NBDC on something like that in the future, we'll try to do it again. We've met with a couple small businesses lately that are just looking at potential growth plans, and we wish we could have gotten them in on this NBDC trainings. But we'll try to find some other way to plug them in. But it was good relationships for those businesses, and we know that even the consultants that we're working with those companies have still been down here or been in contact with those businesses and following up on things. So it wasn't just a one-week crash course. It's still ongoing. So before I keep going, is there anything else you want me to hit on specifically, or you have any questions? I feel free to interject. But
I don't have any questions, but I have a statement to make that I can make now or at the end. Probably now fits just as well as anything. For anybody that's keeping track, and not to walk back to the past, but anybody keeping track at home, the way that Walker and crew are running the business down there at Engage right now is the way that economic development's supposed to operate, and we're getting there. I know Walker's got more goals and stuff to get done, but we're getting back to where we're open. You know, people know that Beatrice and Gage County is open for business again, and it's taken us about 10 years to get there. So this is something that as a community we need to continue to work good at, work together between city, county, everybody involved, needs to continue to work with Walker and do everything we can, because this thing, when it goes south, and we've all seen it, and it's taken 10 years to get back to where we are, and all these things that Walker's talking about today that happened in fourth quarter and that we've seen happen in the last year or so is results of hard work, but it's hard to get there, and it takes a long time when you tear it down. So appreciate everything, and it's I'm happy to see this stuff happening again.
Terry.
Just a comment. Through the rumor mill I hear where Tyson Corporation is looking for places in the Midwest, basically chicken facility, slaughtering facility. I assume you're aware of, had some contacts with that, or
typical response would be I can't really comment on active projects.
I know they're actively looking for places. I know that. Yeah, no problem.
Happy to talk off the record.
No, no problem. I don't need no
Terry, when you brought it up after that, I did go down and visit with Walker. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I'll put that much out there and stuff.
Thank you.
So, other than that, yeah, it's...
I owe you for that one. That was not planted, I promise, but...
Do you have anything you want to tell us about your trip to Southeast Asia?
I do. Let me just a couple more things, but to hammer on what Gary just said, you guys really put this platform out there for us. I mean, financially, just in the trust that you've given us, that the board, or that the city council has given us, and then what our Engage board is, they've given us the freedom, the flexibility, the finances to go out and do this thing. So I'm happy to hear that you think we're doing it correctly. We're having fun. Things are happening, so we'll keep going with it, but appreciate your commitment. I'll get to Korea and I'll do Korea now, and then I'll kind of give a quick update.
Oh, but, you're fine.
So, yeah, we just got back from Korea. Actually, my phone is blowing up over, and I'm sitting over here. There's an editorial in the Omaha World Herald about it, and I was the only one that was quoted in there. So they're getting everyone's getting a lot of stuff out of this trip. But I think it was a great trip. It was the best... By far, I think the best business travel trip I think I've ever had. It was a small group. We just went to Korea, hit it hard for 2 days, met with industry associations. The whole goal of it was to just build relationships in a country that we see a ton of potential with, a bunch of growth with. We've had a little bit of interest from Korean companies. We do some exporting with them now, but we just kind of feel like it was untapped by a lot of states. And so it was just a great trip. I got a stack of like 50 business cards. You know, you go into a city and you don't know anyone, and you come out with a network of 50 people that, you know, I've talked with personally. So next time we go back, I mean, that's just in a spider web. So we feel like we made some good connections, and when we return, you know, they'll bring a lot of their industry partners or their members or whatever to the table, and hopefully we get some active projects out of it. But we actually did have one company that showed up to one of our meetings and said, hey, we hadn't really been considering Nebraska, but we'd been looking at doing something in the Midwest. You know, we'd love to hear more. So it's almost worth it just in that. So I don't know. We're excited about it. The state's excited about it. We think it makes a good fit. So we'll keep going. Any other questions about Korea? Other highlights from Q4 is you can see the hospital, the old hospital, starting to get torn down. That was fruits of the housing studies. Been a lot of different conversations and a lot of stuff that's gone into that. So for that transaction to take place and for the demolition to start occurring and for some of the construction of the new homes, I don't know. It's just it's finally getting kind of a ribbon for running the race. Annual meetings, February 13th. You guys will all be officially invited, hopefully, by the next couple days. I think you've all seen the save the date, but our annual meeting will be February 13th at Classics. We'll have two members up for renewal, or I guess voting, Pat Nareth from the city and James Linners from the county, our two reps that are, their terms are limited. So we've gotten two names. I have two names now for each of those positions. So I think another good thing is that people from around the county are getting excited about being on the board. And, you know, last year we elected the same slate. There wasn't any nominations. So just furthers, I guess, that people are interested about what we're doing. One of the kick, so this is important, and if you guys could help share this message. So we got a grant with our partner from the Heartland Center for Leadership Development. It's a grant through the USDA to focus on community facility planning for every community in Gage County. And we've been working with them with an extension, others, I can't even think, but trying to plan out how we're going to do all of this. And officially the kickoff for what we're going to call Grow Engage Communities is going to be prior to our annual meeting and banquet on the February 13th. So people can come in. We'll go two different ways. When you get, it'll show up like 5:30 for our meeting. Go one way for the Grow Engage Communities kickoff and learning about what, how Heartland Center for Leadership Development helps rural communities, how they can help them do facility planning, what the next 2 years is going to look like as we go through this process. And then in another room, we'll have our annual meeting for our investors who are getting an update similar to this, plus electing our new board members. So we'll have these guys out here have kicked out some stuff on this Girl Engaged Communities thing, but encouraging people to show up to that from all of these different communities is going to be important. And we'll try to set some dates of, in the pockets that we've kind of identified, or if they want to change the pockets of where we're going to focus on these, where the meetings will be, I guess, as these communities come together and focus on how they're growing for the future. So the Grow Engaged Communities thing, I guess a quick synopsis of it is, as we look out 10 years, are we, you know, is each community going to be a place where somebody wants to move back to, or somebody that wants to move to grow their family? So it's involving youth now and shaping their minds and helping them build their communities the way they want it to be so that they have a good opinion about it and want to come back to it in the future. Also, just as you guys do the comp plan, you kind of see all these communities are growing. Are they growing, you know, are the facilities in place that you know, to grow along with the community? So that's essentially what this process is going to help with. And then when you get to the point at the end where you say, well, we need a civic center, we need a splash pad, whatever it is, how do they, Heartland Center will help connect with grants and, you know, help write things to connect public-private partnerships to fund it. So there you go.
It's busy.
Yeah. 2018, looking forward, we've identified three main priorities for us in addition to the other million things we got going on. But the three priorities, number one is going to be quality of life. We've started to work on this in 2017, but showing people that it's a good place to live, work, play, and encouraging more folks to move here and start businesses or move down here and take positions. Number two is going to be new sites and new buildings. So we've gotten a lot of projects lately. But we don't have any place to put them, and people don't want to sit around and wait for you to develop a site or build a building. So our second priority is going to be getting spec buildings built and identifying new sites and getting due diligence done on them so that when company wants to come here, you know, they can start by looking at phase one. We have all the logistics and stuff figured out about it. And then number three is just targeted recruitment, kind of what we're doing with Korea. But rather than sitting back waiting for projects to come to us or just submitting on any proposal that comes to us, we're going to be a little more deliberate with the companies we go after, making sure that they're a good fit for the area. Or if we hear about a project and we think it's a good fit, you know, not sitting around letting everyone else jump in line. We're just going to go right to the top of the line and make sure that we take the doubt out of looking anywhere else. All right. 9:32, sorry, Gary.
No, you're good. Thank you for all that you've done. And used to be this report was maybe 5 minutes at the most, and you've struggled to get it in 15 minutes.
Yeah, so, sorry.
No, that's good. That's great.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now, though. And, I mean, the governor's been down here how many times in 17? He's excited. He's talking about what we have going on. Other people from around the state are talking about stuff that's going on in Gage County, which is Outstanding.
Yes.
But the great thing is, stay tuned. There's stuff in the works. There's more coming for next year. It's not like we had a good year and now they're down there sitting on their hands. They're not just maintaining. They're pouring the coals to it and trying to speed things up yet. And it looks like it's happening. So it's exciting to see. This is the most optimistic I've been in a long time in this area. So it's great.
Thank you, Walker.
Thank you, guys.
We'll entertain a motion to put the report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Hill. Vote 6-0 in favor. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walker. And we will now, at this time, we will entertain a motion to amend the agenda.
Basically, to take that item up.
Okay. Entertain a motion to amend the agenda so that we can move part of our closed session up so that we can have the FOP discussion part of that.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Byers. Not Byers, Lytle. Excuse me. Looked at the wrong name over there.
You look okay. Someone.
6-0 in favor. And in this part of the closed session, we are only going to have the FOP discussion. Yes, we now entertain a motion to go into closed session at 9:34 on the clock, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Lytle. Vote 6-0 in favor.
Get your stick.
Oh, okay.
That way it wasn't in the way.
Okay, we're on.
Yep.
Entertain a motion at 9:50 on the clock to come out of closed session.
Oh, so moved.
Motion by Hill.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Vote. Even though Terry's not here, it's still 6-0. Terry stepped out for just a minute.
Myron, can I make a request that we get that quarterback running? I want to make a quick comment real quick about
the communication. Okay. Well, no, we need to prove this, though. Right under the closed session was an agenda item, approve or disapprove, memorandum of understanding, settlement agreement between Gage County and FOP to include sergeants in the bargaining union and authorize chairman and sheriff to sign agreement. Entertain a motion to approve that.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergen, seconded by Lytle. This agreement, we have not come to an agreement yet with the FOP on the whole contract. This was something that they were requesting as we went into negotiations. They have not been in there. They did file up at the CIR against Gage County to have sergeants in there. There was going to be a hearing on that in early February. Since then, the county has agreed to allow the sergeants back in. This is the legal process that we need to go through to have both sides agree to the fact that a case at the CIR will be withdrawn.
Mr. Chairman, had we had an opportunity to negotiate that prior to them filing with the CIR?
Yeah, that's a good question, Matt. It was brought up in the first negotiating session, and it was not something that was mutually agreed upon at that point. Or disagreed upon at that point. And then they took it to CIR.
That is correct. The sergeants were not included in there, I believe, maybe 4 years ago in that contract. We knew as a county, and they knew also that would be something on the table for negotiations this time. We never even had a opportunity as a county to discuss with them, basically agree with them that we would include it or not include it. They turned around and filed at the CIR before we really had much negotiations on that.
There's more discussion, too. I don't think they were ever told they couldn't have people in the sergeants in the union. The discussion with the sheriff, I believe, was since that's a managing group, they should be in their own union so that the deputies were in one union and the sergeants were in another union so that there wasn't conflict of interest. But I don't think they were even ever discouraged from being in the union. It was just they should be in a separate one since they do separate lines of work. still ended up in CIR.
And Matt, if, to your point, I think if I recall correctly, that was something that happened in the last CIR ruling, if I remember right, or something. I can't remember how that came down, that the sergeants were out of it. Or maybe they wrote them out. I don't remember what it was exactly.
Gus, do you remember Matt? Gus, that had something to do with one of the cases up at the CIR, that between the county and the FOP, that came about.
I think historically it wasn't prevalent practice, and so that's why they were out historically. So,
yeah.
Any more discussion? If not, we'll vote. Vote 6-0 in favor. Okay.
I just want to make a statement.
Yep, go ahead. Gary's going to leave.
We got quite a bit of communication to discuss here, and I guess my thoughts and my feelings are that we should move forward with the Horvath Tower, with putting our equipment on it. Gives us good coverage of most of the central south area of the county. There are some concerns towards the Philly fire area and the Odell area. And I think that we can kind of take care of some of the issues at the Odell area by continuing to use our equipment down there for a minimal cost. And Doug will talk about that, I have a feeling, here after a bit. But personally, I think that we should go ahead and spend the little bit of money that we have to spend there to keep using the Odell facility and give us a little bit of backup, but also give us a little bit better coverage also down there. So anyway, I got to go.
Gary's going to leave.
Thanks, Myron.
Next up on the agenda is approve or disapprove agreement with Horvath Communication. Lisa, do you want to update us on that?
See you, Gary.
Happy day. For those of you that were at the committee meeting, some of you were, but I just want to bring you up to date a little bit. As of, I guess it's been about a week and a half ago, it came upon through a friend of mine that we have a tower company here located in Gage County, right here in Beatrice, Nebraska. And so Zephyr Towers is here, and it appeared that the integrity and just answering some of those questions about the Blue Springs Tower and what's exactly wrong with it needed to be answered. And so I sought out Zephyr Tower. Obviously, it's at no cost to the county. Using those resources, they had gone down. First and foremost was the question of whether or not the tower could be, you know, repaired, number one. What does it have to have done? Then Doug, I, Carla, and Doug's engineer went around last Monday, and we looked at all of the facilities in terms of the Horvath Communications, the mapping, that also includes the Pickerel site, the Wymore Water Tower, the Odell Water Tower, just to kind of get an idea of what's all there, what repeaters will work, and so forth. So Doug had drafted up the information. Zephyr Towers is here today, Mitchell Williamson, and also Mike Fisher. Builds towers throughout the United States, basically Met Towers, and they're here again to answer those questions. But Doug, through his proposal, I think, of what he's put together, and through the advisement of the mapping, talk back, and forth, the Horvath Tower, to comply with that, to put the equipment on there all new, was around that $47,881, and I think you guys have that overview.
Yeah.
And then Odell in question was, not much had to be done to Odell other than just some updating of equipment for that $4,250. So for a total of $52,123, we can utilize the Horvath Communications Tower. We have step one. They've already approved what the antennas and the weight each that is going to go on there. I forwarded the contract to Roger. He was taking a look at that to see if we can go ahead. They won't continue this process until we actually have the agreement from Gage County, and then their engineer takes the next step further. So in reference to that.
So what we're doing here is approving the agreement with the county and the Horvath Tower.
That is correct, and in this particular action.
We put this early up here on the agenda because unless we approve that agreement, even if we don't end up using it,
mm-hmm.
The rest of it doesn't matter if we approve it or not, because we need to make sure that we have the Horvath Tower available and that agreement in place.
And just to clarify, Horvath family has been very nice. It ends up that this particular family already gave us gate access. We were on the site. They supported the 911, what needed to be done early on for the zoning process. We already had a process in place. And, Roger, maybe you want to reiterate on the agreement through what you read. But we don't presume there's a problem.
And this particular tower, when that tower was constructed, mm-hmm. was there was space left on that
yes.
tower through your agreement.
That is correct. At the 100 and essentially, it was only at 140 feet is what they had given us, and now we're finding that they're going to release up to 170 feet, I believe, is what was anticipated. So, which is great. That's another 30 foot. And the other thing is, Doug's got all the breakdowns of all the equipment itself, but things are very, very favorable for that. So right now the current tenants on that particular tower is AT&T and Verizon. So, and it's in the highest point of the county, so obviously it's a very well-used, tower. And so.
Roger, you had a chance to look at the agreement there.
Yeah, and I don't see any problems.
You have the agreement?
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
So, just pardon me for jumping ahead of my new big picture.
No, please do.
So, we get rid of the Blue Springs Tower. If we were going to replace that was $280,000.
So, in other words, if we did a full replacement of that particular tower. So, I did reach out to Zephyr just asking whether or not they could give me an estimate. They were estimating at that 140, 125, 150 would be to put up a new tower in that particular place. The Blue Springs Tower has some challenges in terms of, number one, you have lighting there that's not working. So FAA is going to say, hey, eventually we're going to have to do something with that, because we're filling out the reporting system right now. How long that continues to work, I do not know. But when the inspections, Zephyr went in, did the inspections, just trying to see if we could fix it, first of all, and they can also allude to, but they said they would not climb it at that particular time. So to fix it, it's not compliant to the safety codes and so forth. So going back to, but that doesn't, the tower that's, or the building that's at the base, Matt, is actually owned. You have a building agreement that was entered in 2005 with Galaxy Cablevision. So the only tenant that's left in this particular building is basically Zito Communications, which Galaxy was sold to Zito Communications. There's a fiber optic line about like this that goes into that particular building, that goes into the communications, that leads into, it goes up the tower about 20 foot and then branches over and then feeds Blue Springs and Weimar. We have been in contact with their techs to see when we had a cost put together, if we could pull that fiber optics back to protect the integrity of the building because of the cost if we did something would happen if the tower was decommissioned to protect the fiber optics. And they're doing that review right now. It didn't sound like it would be a problem to pull it back and then to be able to utilize that particular building. Right now we're paying the electric on that particular building, and that's running about $175 to $200 a month. So that was the actual agreement then that I gave to Roger. Again, that agreement goes till 2025 when that purchase was made for the $1. So
we didn't purchase it from Galaxy. We purchased it from City of Weimar.
You purchased it from, oh gosh, I have the bill of sale.
I gave
you the bill of sale.
You think it was who, John?
There is a bill of
I don't
sale,
think it was
though.
From Weimar.
Yeah, we have a bill of sale
Weimar.
That I gave
Weimar,
him yesterday.
It's on Weimar's ground, but it wasn't
It's on Weimar's ground.
Wasn't
oh,
their
okay.
Tower.
Yeah, we purchased a tower from somebody else then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That might be who we...
Is Zito interested in taking
Galaxy,
over that lease?
So it's the same company, though. So we don't have word on that particular item right now. They were trying to determine, what all equipment they had as far as their rep is in...
And I did find that utility thing.
Mm-hmm.
That there's the tenant's supposed to be paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the electrical stuff.
Okay.
So that'll help out there.
Well, anyway.
No, that's all right. I talked to you the other day.
Yeah.
Couldn't find it.
So if we do this on the Horvath Tower,
mm-hmm.
we no longer need the Wymore Tower. If we kept the Wymore Tower demoed, replaced, we wouldn't need the Horvath Tower.
Yep.
We did some mapping on the Blue Springs Tower, but I am not. Did we run a map on Blue Springs early on?
No.
No. Okay. Okay.
Here's where I'm walking to. So if you take down the decommission, you've got roughly $38,000 in that. To put up a new tower, roughly $140,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at $180,000 if we don't use the Horvath and we just replace that. What we do here. We're roughly saving $90,000 getting rid of that old tower and doing something new with Horvath. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I'm sick of talking about it. Let's fix it. We're not putting up a new tower to maintain. We can get somebody to decommission that locally at a decent without you pushing it over. And
pulling it.
Without the fiber optics.
If it meets our needs, we're finally there. We don't need to go on.
Terry.
I make a motion to approve agreement with Horvath Communications.
Second.
Quick question. What are ongoing costs with Horvath and having equipment?
Nothing. It's at no cost. We'll be paying our own electrical because that'll all be keyed in separate. Correct, Doug?
Yeah.
But, no.
When the county, because that's on a county zoning jurisdiction, when the county put that up, allowed them to put that up. Part of the agreement was that they would allow us back on there.
I knew we were allowed on there, but I didn't know if we were allowed on there to submit a nominal fee.
I've asked four times, and I have confirmation in emails that there's no cost.
Good deal.
We have the motion by Juergens, and the second one by who?
Bauman.
Now we can have discussion. Sorry. Any more discussion? Vote.
Nope.
Switch carries there. 5-0 in favor.
All right. So next up.
We need to approve or disapprove agreement with Zephyr Towers to decommission the Blue Springs Tower.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Juergens.
The thing I want to ask on this, though, is in the decommissioning, there's concrete removal on that. I'm anticipating the tower company doesn't have earth equipment to pull that out, so you're probably going to sub it out.
Hold it. Just a minute.
You do. Would we be able to?
No. We can do either.
Are you holding me a second?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, would we be able to do that ourselves to save that money with our county equipment?
You can.
Hold it. Come on, we need you on mic. Sorry.
So the bid that I put together, the main bid on that front page is for us to do our services on the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The line item that I added was to fully remove all the concrete on the ground. That's a line item that's separate. So our portion on the main bid is $28,000 in some odd sense. The extra portion will be $9,100. If you guys think you can do it cheaper, by all means, go ahead.
With the first bid, it has taken the concrete down at each of the footing pads 24 inches.
Well, most of those are just anchor shafts, so we would just cut those anchor shafts off. And then most of the other concrete is either at grade or right below. Some of that would be taken down, like the pier. We can take that down 24 inches, too. We just bring out an excavator and a hammer.
What would we save if we didn't have you take that down 24 inches?
Very little. We're going to have an excavator on site anyway. Really, all it would take for us to do is just grab a hammer, and one of our guys would be cleaning up the spoils when we're done hammering that small amount of concrete.
I also don't know if there'd be any reason for us to pull everything out. I mean, the site that's at, I don't see anything being built on it ever.
The reason that we added it as a line item is because it's kind of an undeveloped area, and these concrete blocks are probably 6 to 7 feet underground. Any farming activities, any light construction can go right over the top. There'd be no reason for that. What we talked about last time was, for example, you decide to put a housing subdivision back there and you want to put basements in, there's going to be 6 to 10 giant chunks of concrete in there, and it's going to be a little game of peekaboo when you go to start digging basements in. Is there one here? Is there not?
That's part of the fun, yeah.
So if you don't have any developments planned, I wouldn't do that line item. I'd cut everything 24 inches below. Farming can continue, hang, whatever's going on out there.
And we need your name, just for the record.
My name is Mitch Williamson.
With?
Zephyr Towers.
And you were?
Mike Fisher with Zephyr Towers.
Okay, just for the record, sorry.
Could you, just for the
the record also explain the magnesium that might be underneath those blocks that we talked about?
Yeah, so there is a type of protection for towers called cathodic protection. And part of that system is some anodes or bags of magnesium that could be under the ground. And they would be located approximately where those dead man anchors are, those blocks of concrete are. I don't do any type of environmental studies on them. I don't know what that could do to the ground or not do to the ground. But it looks like from looking at the anchor shafts, there are two copper lines that wrap around the shaft and dead end at the fan plate. That tells me there's probably some type of cathodic protection underground. And that may include magnesium bags. Without construction drawings or pictures from when the site was actually constructed, there's no way to verify that, but we would have an excavator on site and could dig up one of the anchors to check for you.
Would there be any reason to worry about bags of magnesium, though?
I don't know. That's beyond my education.
I'd like to say something. I don't think we should have any reason to worry about that, but we wouldn't want to accept liability for that either. If you guys decide to keep them in the ground, I mean, they're in the ground to stop corrosion of the anchor from happening. So, and they do that to this day. So they still put that stuff in the ground to this day. And as far as we know, there is not an environmental hazard there. But like I said, in 20 years from now, you know, something new might come out. We don't know. So if it was my project, I would leave, you know, like Mitch said, I would leave the concrete in the ground, cut everything at 24 inches, remove the surface concrete if you wanted to, and then, you know, if you decide to put housing development, deal with it. Let's have fun, like I said. So,
now, there is a line item in your bid to remove the anchor shafts 24-inch below grade for $6,900, but if we just left them as is, that wouldn't come out of the bid, right? Or
That's part of the bid that's added in there. Let me grab it so I see exactly what you're talking about here.
That's removing all surface concrete and the 24-inch anchor shafts below grade. $6,900.
Yeah, that's part of the civil crew labor is to take those things down. But that's what we were asked to bid on.
But that's not, that $6,900 involves more than just that?
Well, we already have the excavator and skid loader on site. We need to tie off on these anchors when we cut the tower down because we're unsure of what the anchor shafts look like below grade. So we already have our equipment out there. So part of that cost is not only to take those anchor shafts down 24 inches, but it's also to have that excavator on site. It's all just added in. That line item is for our civil crew. Our civil crew is what runs our excavator and our skid loader, so we will have them on site. Offhand, what would that save you? Probably half of that line item would be just to cut those off. But that's not going to take a whole long. We're going to have a bandsaw out there. We're going to dig down with shovels, cut it off at 24 inches, do that six times, and then remove a couple of little chunks that are right on the surface.
And then you have concrete removal in that same civil line at $2,500. If we could save half of that $6,900 and save that $2,500 for hauling concrete off, I mean, that's stuff that we can do.
Yep.
As county. If we can save that, I would like to do that. Is that something that we could?
Yeah, we'd talk. We'd work with you on that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so if our responsibility is going to be cutting the tower down, disposing of the tower and the guy wires, and then we're moving off-site, obviously that's less work for us, so obviously it would be less, yeah.
And what, where would we be at if we just if you took the anchors completely out but just left them on-site for us to haul off?
I would probably remove the concrete spoil removal line item of $2,500. That's really our cost to bring out some 20-yard dumpsters and have somebody haul that off. We don't have our own dumpsters, so.
Yeah.
Leave them in the ground, John.
Well, but we're totally rid of everything.
Those are big hunks of concrete.
And they could be gigantic. We don't know.
They are.
They could be a 2-3 yard dead man acre. They could be a 6-10 yard cube because we don't know exactly how they decided to do that in the 50s or 60s. And
concrete was cheap back then.
Concrete was cheap. Standards were different. Standards were brand new in the tower industry, so very few people were actually following them. They could have erred on the side of caution and put giant cubes of concrete in there. So.
Yeah. Terry, you got a question?
Myron, I might like to make a motion to approve agreement with Zephyr Towers to decommission the Blue Springs Tower at what we've discussed, go down 24 inches, remove it, and if the county can help out hauling the material away, whatever less it would be, the county would take care of that.
Second.
Motion by Jergen, seconded by Thiemann. That then the whole bid was for $28,000. Hold it just a minute. The whole bid was for $28,370.
$28,730. $28,730.
Yes, sir.
And I guess one thing we haven't talked about, we are on leased ground here.
Yes.
We're leaving stuff on leased ground.
And we may find out before that comes down that we may need to move all of that. So that might be something that we may have to come back in and adjust. We don't know that. This is us knowing what we know today.
And it's leased from who?
City of Wymore.
And who
that's
provides?
What my point.
And, well, but okay, no, let's shake this out a little bit. So from Wymore, and then how much do we charge for communications on that tower for the Wymore Blue Springs area?
You're in reference to the 10 years that are left or the contract goes until 2025?
Since the beginning.
Since any communications, up, how many bills has the county sent to Blue Springs Wymore for providing communications down there? Zero.
Same as to all the other towns
exactly.
in the county.
Exactly. So we should be able
we're
to
we're not
work
leaving
with
stuff
them.
On their property for any other community.
Well, not that we say out loud.
Yeah.
That's something we'll have to find out. But
and didn't we accept a bid for a paver or a pot not that long ago that we accepted
yes,
because
we
it was another municipality to save taxpayer money before we rejected the bid? Surely we could work together.
We can work together. We will be visiting with them and see where that comes at.
Basically, what you have in your hand with this bid is a worst-case scenario. If you need everything done, that's the price. If there's less that needs to be done, we'll
and
work
the county
with
can work with you, then that would be adjusted.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, just so everybody knows what we're talking about. So we have a motion and a second. Vote. Four in favor with Hill. Against. We skipped a line here. I skipped a line. We got to go back above the line, back above it. Discuss and approve or disapprove the purchase and installing equipment on the Horvath Tower.
That is correct. And that bid came from First Wireless. Doug, I don't know if you want to come up. And Russ Jobman is also here on behalf of 911 Communications, too, to verify since Carla couldn't be here today. But I'll turn it over to Doug.
You have that contract, Roger. Okay, Doug Ostergaard, First Wireless.
Yep.
We discussed this last week. I guess what we would be doing is a big part of it is putting the antenna coax antennas, outdoor structure, heated and cooled, and all that to move any of the equipment into. There's also a line item for a new repeater that would be P25 digital capable, and then a control station, basically a radio tied in to dispatch that would talk out to that tower. And that's what the in a nutshell what the 47.8 is for.
Basically, since we don't have anything out at the Horvath Tower, any
right
structure to house everything and all of that, that's our responsibility to build out there.
Yes,
and that's included in it.
Yeah.
The
we
new
would.
Equipment, since a few things we're going to take out of there now and move to Odell, you can upgrade that equipment.
The paging side.
The
of it.
Paging part.
Yep.
But a lot of the equipment at the Horvath Tower will be new equipment then.
Yes. The only thing that will be reused will be the paging equipment.
And I believe there was maybe even one piece of equipment that we may need to include down at the 911 center add.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's really just changing out the radio so that it is P25 capable.
Basically upgrading them to today's today's radio.
Anything usable, any good down the Blue Springs Tower?
On the tower, if I can get these guys to climb up and take it down. But no.
No?
Kidding. I'm kidding. It really doesn't pay to take coax off the tower. The majority of the cost is really the labor to put it up and stuff. So.
And stuff. So, the Blue Springs Tower, basically, at some time, once the new equipment gets up and connected and basically hooked up to run, it will just basically switch it over to there. We
yes.
won't be out of communications down in that area for a very short period of time.
And only paging, yep.
And only paging.
Would be for the time it takes to take it out of Blue Springs and move it to Wymore or to Horvath and plug it in.
Hey, Terry.
What's the time frame?
A lot of that comes back to Zephyr, but we got to pour concrete for the pad to put this on. As far as me getting equipment, I'm going to say a month to a month and a half, but I think we're probably looking March before we
March,
can,
April.
Can,
okay.
can get concrete poured and everything put in place and
electrical
run. Yeah. Trenched in the frozen dirt.
Okay. Any other questions? Do we have a motion to approve this? No.
Look I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, seconded by Bauman. Vote 5-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Yeah, that was my feeling.
That was the I think we had a proposal from at committee meeting for these amounts. But you're looking at the basically the 52,000.
I just did a quick overview of what we were spending, and then adding the Odell. There is one thing that when First Wireless looked at the North Tower, there's an improvement that we can make by putting a cabinet and a battery pack in there. I think I can get that to work through my general budget, you know, in the next year and a half or so. So it's not something that we have to decide on today, but it would lengthen the life of everything up there, and probably temperature control make things work a little bit better.
So we have it on record. The Horvath Tower, the estimated cost of that, the equipment and installing all of the little structure we need to
everything
house it,
needs.
Is estimated at $47,881.73. The Odell area, that equipment down there is $4,250 for a total of $52,131.73.
And I'm assuming what, coming out of inheritance for this, or?
Inheritance, Matt? Yep. Shaking his head, yes.
If Terry takes all his money, we might as well take it.
This is a Thank you, Lisa.
Does Caterpillar make communications equipment?
Next up, approve or disapprove agreement between Advanced Correctional Health Care and Gage County for Correctional Health Care Services. Gus?
Yeah, we got that truck. Please.
Okay, this is a contract I spoke to a committee about a while back. It's with ACH, who we have for our medical vendor right now. We've had them for quite a while. Roger's office has looked at this contract and give their blessings on it. Basically, all it does compared to the other one is it's allowing us two more hours. Instead of 6 hours a week, we get 8 hours of LPN nursing hours. And then they're adding the option in of 4 hours of mental health counseling every other week, and that person has to have a master's level or above. I think we're paying a little over $37,000 now, as we've been paying them. Angelina, I think this takes it up to around a little over $41,000. With the way things are nowadays in a too happy society, that extra 4 hours might be something to help us down the road to key on something, a red flag. Somebody might be having some issues that we can start addressing right away. So they draft this contract, and I think it's something you need to look at. The money's was there, like everything else. The line that comes out of it is our medical bill. We've had some pretty hefty hospital stays in Lincoln and some surgeries, so, of course, that line's already over. But if a guy holds on this, I think anything after February 5th, I think it was, and the price will go up on it if we look at it for next year's budget. So that's kind of up to the board, what you want to do on it.
Jerry.
Yes.
The mental health is for who over there?
Yeah, well, I need more than just 4 hours every week, I'll tell you. Yeah, that's not funny, because that's probably true. But that's kind of what this is in a nutshell. So it's increasing about 7,000 over the existing contract we had. Right.
But it's also increasing more hours.
And the actual more hours into the mental health.
And the agreement here then will be for $44,167.70 payable in monthly payments.
Yeah, and this is above and beyond. If we still use TASC for emergency situations, that's still free. They come down, take care of those things, and see if we have to go ahead and commit them. This is for just people there that need to talk to somebody that we've had to try to pay for in the past. So
just a statement. So it's 4 hours every other week?
Every other week.
So
for the mental health side, yes.
So this just a statement about mental health and corrections. This is basically just a Band-Aid and cover your butt thing, because we should be spending significantly more time counseling and providing mental health for people in corrections. And that's just a statement about society.
Yeah.
Mental illness is horribly...
The system's broken. It is.
This is purely just something in here, which is unfortunate. But
well, what happens, they come to the county jails, and then jails aren't set up for that kind of situation. So this is an option they started using some time back, and they've been getting quite a few jails around the country starting to get on board. It's something to start with, I guess.
8 hours a month. Not your fault.
I agree 100%. I understand. So.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, second by Hill. Any more discussion? Vote. 5-0 in favor.
You're on a roll, Sheriff.
Okay.
Need a new car?
Yeah, you need a new car?
I'm going to pass this around, Roger.
Oh, how's, have you seen what jail population is? I haven't looked. Are we still kind of running?
Not too bad, yeah.
Good deal.
Next up, approve or disapprove 2018 board committees and appointments. Been visiting with several people on the board. I visited with Matt. The only change that I have or that I'm proposing is on the finance insurance. Going to add Thiemann as chairman on there. Going to want to leave Juergens and Bauman on there. And I want to, this is what I came up with, have Denny Byers as the alternate. And Denny would be the first one. He's always here for our meetings. And he would be the one that then is, you know, helping with signing and reading into record all of our claims. But then also, if somebody's not able to make it when we're doing the budget or having the preliminary discussions on the budget, that's the first one that would be involved in coming in to help with that. So that was, I'm open to anything or more discussion or changes if you want to, but I told Don, let's just add an alternate. I didn't want to take Denny off of there, but I also wanted to leave him on as an alternate in case everybody knows, first person we call in case you can't be there or something. That.
And you and I visited about this the way we do our meetings now. Having a chairman isn't as imperative as it once was before. It's just proven to be fairly...
Our committee set up compared to when we came on the board, some of us, 4 or 7 years ago. Then the committee structure was very important because then we met up there and we only had 3 or 4 people in that room at a time, and then the chairman ran that short, that part of the meeting and everything. Now the way we have our committee structure due to the legislature enacting what they did, everybody's here and everybody can come and go as they are. However, finance is the one, though, that we have preliminary budget discussions as we start preparing for next year's budget every year. So that is something that they do meet 2 or 3 times beyond what we do as a scope as a board.
Down on the appointment, you left Matt off of the Blue Rivers Area on Agency.
No, I thought we just voted the last meeting to have John Hill on that.
No, we didn't vote on anything last meeting.
I would make a motion to reaffirm Mr. Hill, or Supervisor Hill's appointment to that
BRAA.
We don't have BRAA on here. That's a different line. So we have to add that onto the agenda.
Oh, we have to add that position on there.
Would you like to make a motion and add Mr. Hill?
I don't think you can do it this meeting. Maybe you'll forget about it next time.
You are our representative on there, John. We had that discussion last time.
I haven't been appointed.
If you'd like to negotiate with some of that.
I thought we appointed him last time.
Well, you guys discussed and he kept saying no, so I can't put him on the agenda until I know for sure.
You could officially do that now,
we even sent him a notice that he is our new one. They asked for information. I mean, they
didn't send him no notice.
But they asked for information, though, contact information.
When they called, I told them to get a hold of John.
I've been getting emails from.
I know, whatever, yeah, but I...
You're talking about the Blue Rivers
Area Aging on Aging.
Area Agency on Aging. Well, that...
Well, I'm too young to be on that. It has to be.
Well, John was going to their meeting.
We will add...
John on something else that you had me send.
What?
John for something else that you had me send.
But Rex Adams was our representative on here. When he was on the board, he was on, and then he just stayed on and
yes,
everything.
Yes.
On the Blue River Area Agency.
Never under your appointments of your committees and appointments. You did that by under the consent agenda. But you can add it on this if you want, but you guys have to make that decision.
Well, we're going to add that on here.
Okay.
We're going to add the Blue River Area
Agency on Agency.
BRAA. Blue Rivers Area Agency.
That was always a double secret. Appointment. That's pretty good, John.
And we're going to include Hill down there on that one there.
Are you having just one member, or are you going to have an alternate? Or are you
we'll have an alternate of Thiemann.
I'm glad you brought that up, John.
Well,
that's going to happen anyway. But I guess we'll try and get you.
Anything else we forgot?
Hold on. I just want to note, I'm looking here. Bauman's, is he on any appointments? Maybe that'd be a good one for him to be an alternate on.
I want to be an alternate on that. But I think they meet, like, don't they, John, like at 1 o'clock or something, or
yep.
11 or 1 they meet at. So that might not be feasible for him. But you as an alternate would be real good on. So
it was a conspiracy.
Hey, Myron.
Yeah.
Matt had just brought up the old committee. I mean, I must have time today or something. The old committee's way when we came on, went to my first meeting, and I was road and bridge chairman. Rex Adams was sitting over there at this side, and he said, okay, take it away, Juergens. I didn't know what the hell it was. So he ran the first meeting for me so I could get it figured out what to do.
Yeah, and we the structure is a lot different than it was back then. Because now we have it so that all seven board members can be here during any of those committee meetings. So any of those discussions, and some of them I know kind of come and go as their schedule.
At the time, you could not have any over
Was it three?
Three.
I think it was three in there, or four. No, I remember.
Four was a quorum.
It was
you could have two-thirds because you could have it was like 4 point something. And
okay,
so
four.
You could have a voting majority in a committee meeting, which was always kind of lanky.
But you couldn't have a full board there because it was not
several
on record.
Several times there were people that waited out in the hall. Well, Chris was there, and with Chris we took attendance, so no.
I think of all the stuff, Juergens got approved in that meeting because he had a voting majority.
Boy.
Yeah.
Add that into your appointment.
This is a better system.
Anything else? Any other corrections or anything anybody sees there, or changes they'd like to maybe look at?
Everybody's afraid to speak now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Speak up, Eric. If you'd like to change something, speak up. We can put you on another meeting. Or
I just see a security administrator as a. The sheriff.
You want to touch on the we're going to
I feel pretty safe. I like that.
Yes.
I can take that one and maybe start screening people on the first floor.
The one other thing, we had discussion in our committee meeting, the jail inspections. We are going to, since that has not been the best job of getting that done, we're going to, at our committee meetings, when we're going to adjourn our committee meetings once a quarter, and we're going to head over there and go inspect the jails. And still have our committee meetings over. Then we'll just adjourn here, and whoever's around and has time to go, we'll go back over there and inspect that. So we'll put that on there so that this is something that is supposed to be required, that we are supposed to be doing that, and we have not kept up on that responsibility, so we are going to change that a little bit. So, and Doug and Scott, you guys can sure go along if you want to. We can't guarantee you'll get back out, but you can sure go along. So. Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the 2018 board committee and appointments.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Juergens. Vote.
Do you want to put
as amended, as changed.
As amended. Okay.
As amended.
With Hill on Brough and John as the alternate.
No, it's
no.
Teeman as the
records down here.
Here, so I...
Yep.
I'm going to miss a lot of meetings.
5-0 in favor. Discuss and approve... or disapprove 2018 Board of Supervisors standing rules. And sometimes I remember the first meeting I was at, or we did this, and I thought, well, I don't know why you even have those or whatever. We found out here in one of our public hearings and stuff that we had to refer to these and what our standing rules were and how we could continue or how we needed to proceed with that part of the discussion. So
these are the same. As last year, except for I updated the 2018 committees, but now we'll have to add the Blue Rivers Area Agency into the appointments on your standing rules here. So that would be one correction there, or amended.
So we do refer to these, and these are our board rules as to sometimes what needs to take place. So. Any changes anybody or any discussion anybody would like to have? I think it was Rule 16 that we used. No motion for reconsideration shall be in order unless made during the same meeting or immediately following the meeting in which the decision proposed to reconsider took place. So, because we were going to redo that at a meeting 2 weeks later, and that wasn't... by our standing rules, that wasn't allowed. So,
change your mind early.
Well, but it can take a... Rule 20 is interesting, is that we can... within our rules, we can suspend our rules. Somebody could have invoked Rule 20 with at least four members. So that's our fail-safe for the red button.
But the city, we used to have to suspend rules on a regular basis. Instead of reading items three times, we could read them once to push things through quickly that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it isn't too often that we ever have to read three things in three times, but they have part of their governance is different that way.
Well, Supervisor Juergens should probably read Rule 21. Isn't that the Juergens rule?
Must have leave of the chair to be excused.
It's funny you bring up Rule 21, because if you read the latter half of that.
Before a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, and we don't even.
We seem to lack that on a regular basis.
The motion to adjourn?
Well, we don't lack the motion, you just don't acknowledge it.
You don't acknowledge it, and we don't vote. It doesn't say anything in there about voting. I'm scared it wouldn't pass, that's why.
You can also put in the meeting was adjourned when everybody got up and left. That is permissible.
That is permissible. I entertain a motion to approve Board of Supervisors standing rules for 2018.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bowen, seconded by Juergens.
But just so the what we made as far as the committees have to be reflected in the
yes.
report.
That was the only change I would have, too.
With the committees updated to what was just approved. Ready to vote? Vote 5-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove specs and calling for bids for demolition of the 609 Washington property. Bids to be open on February 28, 2018 at 9:45 a.m.
I did not see specs.
Dave's going to. Do you have?
Yes. Well, I actually don't have them with me now.
Oh, okay.
It was the specs.
Don asked. He's pulling something out.
This is what he wrote out, and then that. Here's what was written on that other bid, so that's kind of what he got there.
If you want to look at it, you sure can, Dave. That when we took down the other house that we bought over here on
correct.
The east side
it's
of the street,
same as that.
East side of that lot or that block, that was what was in the contract we had then with that company. So,
is that going to be? Was that was rock and stuff included in that one years ago?
Yeah,
Dave. Grading and rocking that lot?
Grading was, and then the county brought up the rock, I believe.
County brought up the rock. Yeah. And we did approve on a consent agenda. We did approve to call for bids earlier, but we didn't have anything on there as far as the what needed to be done or as far as the specs of that bid, and that's why we're approving this now.
And one question I didn't think of earlier, I cannot remember on the property on up north, whether we removed the basement floor or not. And I don't know if that's something.
Is that standard? Wouldn't happens. It be, Eric, on that type of demolition?
Mm-hmm. Depends on who does it. I would say it'd be a good idea to pull the floor and footings out on a house like that.
And I think we did on that one, but I cannot remember for sure.
I know in Wymore a lot of those houses are getting pulled out and they leave the floor and footings in.
I think that would be good to have on there if we don't have that on there, Dave. I know there was something about capping the water line, capping the sewer and all of that. That was included in there. But even how far down are you going to be with the basement floor?
That house probably
8 feet.
Eight feet.
Yeah. So does it matter if we leave it in there or pull it? Or why were you thinking of pulling it? Or
while you're doing it, it's easy just to yank it. That is an area that's more than likely going to be developed at some point in time in the future. So
future development, not for a parking lot, you wouldn't do it, but future development.
Maybe
you sure
like a condo.
What are you proposing, Supervisor?
Duplex. Maybe an apartment building.
His future place for residents.
They are building duplexes and stuff in town, so maybe we could get in that business and sell and make money. So.
With bars.
We got inmates that could do the labor part, so.
Yep.
Maybe we could have the sheriff start doing like a jail-to-work program where we get some labor out of them building structures.
That's what I'm going to use on the bus stop getting going on it.
What if we put a footing for a commercial wind turbine right there?
That'd be a great place for a wind turbine. I know the city of Beatrice has been looking into that.
Yes. Okay, back to where we're on here. Dave, you'll have basically it's the specs we had for the other house, and I think if you also would add on there, remove the basement floor.
Okay, we'll do. And we talked earlier, there are two mature, they look like maple trees. Okay. They're kind of on the west, right along the edge. It wouldn't hurt anything to leave those if we did want to leave those at this time. Just to kind of give a little bit of a screen.
Everyone okay with leaving those?
if they were right in the middle, I could see why we would want to remove them, but they're...
So that won't be part of the bid, is to remove those two trees.
What trees did we talk about taking out over there, Eric?
Yeah.
Those two?
One by the sidewalk.
By the sidewalk?
By the sidewalk.
There's one by the sidewalk you were going to talk to the city about.
And I have not heard. Yeah, it is directly underneath the power line, so I was hoping the city would be able to remove that one. The other two are pretty much where the bus stop property line and their property line
is.
We wouldn't be disturbing the ground enough to eventually have them die anyway.
I don't think so. There's nothing really close to them, so.
But are they hanging over the bus stop?
Not yet. They probably would eventually. They'll get large.
How big are they now?
Oh, they're probably about 25 feet tall or so.
Yeah. You really can't see them. Our tree in front of the jail here is in the way.
Yeah.
Well, probably leave that because when you put the tent out there for proof, you're going to get a little shade to them. Then.
Yeah.
Got to have something to tie the dogs to, right?
And they're good. If those are a problem, it would be.
Well, but really those we can get. Those aren't. I mean, those, if we don't bid them out now to do it, we can always bid it to take those down.
Is that something that. Well, Galen's gone. Is that something that Galen could take down later on if we need to? I don't even know. Do we have a big chipper down there?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so.
No. I don't know if that's. Well, I guess we do have insurance, liability insurance. With part of what you're taking the tree down for is so it doesn't fall on the other property we have.
Do you see those trees causing a problem? We did talk about taking those down potentially, but
I don't. No, I think they're far enough away from the building to where they would give some shade, and then like if we would ever have a problem, that'd be very easy to take out later. I would think.
Leave the trees. Okay.
Right.
Anything else? Do we have a motion?
No.
Need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bowen, second by Juergens. Vote. Okay. 5-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Discussion on Gage County Extension Constitution changes. Nicole Stoner, everybody should have that.
Primary change there was moving from trying to put together her group again to meet her board of governors, basically, and instead of doing a monthly meeting, do it quarterly. And then there was a deletion of, what was it called?
Extension unit.
Yeah, their extension unit group or whatever, which no longer exists. I think that was the only real changes in that.
And, quarterly instead of alternating months on the meeting.
They haven't been meeting for the last 5 years or so she's going to try to get that group back together.
Basically been a non-existent extension board for the last several years, and they're trying to get that up and going again. This contract is only concerning that a board in that extension board. It's not a contract with the extension agreement with the university. So this is...
It updates the terms of service just to the current years.
She's going to try and get 8 new people, and she will prorate out their different years of service. So...
You can't leave. But are you upset because there isn't huge paragraphs all deleted out?
Well, that and it's not just an amendment. It's an extension of the agreement for 3 years. Of an agreement that's 20 years old, so where the dates she's put in here, 18, 19, and 20, so it's an amendment to an agreement, and then it stretches a term out for 3 years. So as we've tried to work with the county extension and the university, this basically removes us from being able to do that unless we invoke the nuclear option of going through and providing notification to term the agreement. Just reading
the read. This and we can vote on this in 2 weeks.
Yeah, because we're just discussing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we're not voting on this, yes. This is just discussion.
So that's the point I would bring is that there's...
What page are you looking at there?
It's page 6.
It's on the first page of the bylaws.
Oh, okay.
Term of service. Basically just wrote it in a 3-year extension for the extension. Is that ironic?
It's weird for a bylaw to have that permit. This is more like a contract.
So at the end there, it has the date.
Well,
of the
it provides, I'm sorry, it's a terms of service for the extension board, but we don't, so it's, I should stand corrected, not the term of the agreement, the term of the board.
But the agreement is still a 20-year-old agreement. But
we do approve this agreement as a board. We do approve this agreement, and we do approve who will be on the board. Okay.
This is just a now, and this is me asking. This is just for the extension board. Nothing as far as an agreement with the extension.
So I stand corrected on that. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. A little sensitive, wasn't I?
This is just extension board makeup. Board and its makeup.
So would we have to approve the members that she selects then?
We will approve. That's in the other agreement, that this board approves the people on that board. She will come forward, she said, with the list of those names when she has those.
I will say Nicole called about this. She really wants to try to build the relationship back with the...
This is in our extension agreement that this extension board is active or should be active and needs to be a part of some of the workings and the decisions out there, as far as especially 4-H.
And it hasn't been active for how long? A while?
Not sure.
Several years.
I'll just answer it that way, John. Not sure. Several years. It's kind of went by the wayside. At one time, Paul did have a working extension board, but over the last few years, and I don't know how long that period of time would be, it's kind of gone by the wayside. So,
yeah. All right.
We will have that on next. We'll try and get Nicole here at our next meeting.
All right.
And then she could, if we have questions about this, we could have her here. And we'll put that on there to approve in our next meeting. Anything else anyone sees there on the agenda? Well, if not, we have a closed session yet with legal counsel.
Interested potential candidates will be identified through an open nomination process.
At 10:45, I entertain a motion at 10:45 to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. Need a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann.
It's part of the whole
vote.
Overall picture.
5-0 in favor.
Pictures changed.
For booze?
Yeah.
He has to buy supplies.
Entertain a motion to come out of closed session at 11:11 on the clock.
So moved.
Motion by Hill.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Vote. 5-0 in favor. And at this time, after consulting with our legal counsel, there is no new additional legal counsel that we're going to be hiring. So I don't know how else to phrase it. I guess, Roger, you can make a comment, too. We had some concern that there was an issue that may need some additional help. And
Right now we're okay.
Yeah, Pat, due to some conflicts of interest that Pat had concerns about, and at this time there will be no new... Thankfully, no new legal counsel needed to be hired. So, anything else, John?
We were going to have a resolution, you know, for Galen to study the streets in Rockford, and you know, for being vacated. We just need to make sure it gets on the next agenda.
We weren't going to have it on this one because he had to wait for Chris to get the surveyor, the information. So as soon as he gets that information, then we'll have that because that has to go into the resolution.
Okay, so he's waiting on Chris.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He has to have the legal description right up, Matt. Just so you know,
Rockford's been like that for 30 years. Don't worry about it.
Down there.
Colson.
Across from the
Chris.
Down
there. Anything else?
What about closing that stretch of road north of Holmesville?
Make it into
next agenda, Matt. Next agenda.
If not, at 11:13 on the clock, meeting adjourned.